Hey everyone, my name is Josh, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We are so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and your family and be a blessing any way that we can. You could also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you guys for being here today. I want to apologize first. I don't have any cool intro music like Pastor Josh used last week. I was looking through my songs, and I couldn't figure anything out. But my name is Pastor Phil. I am our gathering pastor and young adult pastor at the Waterford location. I'm so excited to get to be here with you guys this morning. So a little bit about me. I've been on staff at the River Church since 2013. Was originally out at our Grand Blanc location and have been at our Waterford location since 2020. And I am married. I have a wonderful wife, Mary. We've been together for 2013. Not 13 years, not yet. Getting close. And we have three incredible children. Molly, my oldest, is 9. Ander is 7. And our youngest, Eden, is 2. So they were excited to get to go back and hang out with Mr. Elijah this morning. Like I said, too, I'm also our young adult pastor. I'm a little shout out here. If you are between the ages of 18 and 28, I would love to meet you today. We have at our Waterford location on Wednesday nights, 6:30. We have a group that meets there and would love to have you guys down there. Also, my dream for the future of this location is for there to be a group that meets here. I know Pastor Josh at one point tried to run one, and God bless that man. He does so many things here, right? And it just wasn't feasible, but I'm praying in the future that we can have a young adult group that meets here as well. But we would love to have you in Waterford on Wednesday nights at 6:30 as well. So just so excited to be here this morning to see what the Lord is doing through this congregation, to see a room that is just packed full of people worshiping the Lord. In my position in Waterford as gathering pastor, I lead the music there on Sundays. So most of the time I'm up here doing it, and it was just so refreshing this morning to get to sit with my wife and sing together, to sing with all of you and worship. So I'm fired up after that set list there. Some great songs, just some incredible, incredible worship. So I'd love to pray for us this morning, and then we're going to be digging into the second half of Romans 12 together. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you again for this opportunity to be here this morning. Thank you for this opportunity to share your word, Lord. I pray that you would just remove me from the equation, Lord. Allow your Holy Spirit to speak through me. We pray that you would just be softening the hearts of each person in here, Lord, to hear from you today. And we just thank you for this incredible passage, Lord, where we are just shown what the marks of a true believer are, Lord, and how we are to live that out in our day-to-day life. So we ask that you be with us this morning. Thank you for this opportunity. We love you. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Amen. So today we are in Romans 12, starting in verse number 9. And this is an amazing section of scripture. I absolutely love in my Bible the kind of man-made heading that they put there is the marks of a true Christian. So we have verses 9 through 21, this incredible, incredible roadmap for us on what it looks like to live out our walk with Christ, right? God, through Paul's Holy Spirit-inspired words, gives us this section of how believers should be behaving towards one another in our day-to-day living. So if you're looking at the scripture here, that's a lot of verses, right? If you're anything like me, you might be thinking, how's he going to preach all of this and get us home in time for the Lions game still, right? And I said Lions, not 49ers, so real fan up here. But don't worry, we're going to be looking at just a few specific things from these scriptures talking about What is love? What does genuine brotherly love look like in the body of Christ? And just those first four verses here give us 13 exhortations. So there is just so much packed into this section of scripture. I challenge you this week, take time just to slowly read through this. Take time to pray on these scriptures. Take time to meditate on these scriptures. This section of Romans is just such an incredible, like I said, roadmap for how we are to live in our Christian life. But this morning, we're going to look at how a true Christian is called to love. And preparing for this message, I was thinking back to what my Lake Orion connections were, right? And I remember when my wife and I were dating, she lived way out in Oakland Township, like north of Rochester, and I was down in Clarkston. And we used to meet halfway at Sagebrush in downtown Lake Orion. And we would go there and we would read this book, 101 Questions to Ask Before You Get Engaged. That was like maybe once a week, you know, we'd set up a time and we'd go up there and we'd have, you know, have some good food, have some cheesecake or, you know, whatever dessert was on the menu at the time. And we would work through these questions together, right? Getting to know each other, getting to know who both of us really were, right? That we really believed these things that we were saying to each other and trying to get down to the root of what love between us really looked like, right? What was love? So I thought about maybe titling this sermon, What is Love? But then everybody in their heads would say, baby, don't hurt me. And then that's going to be stuck in your head for the rest of the day. So I'm not going to do that. I wouldn't do that to you guys. But that question, right? What does love look like for the believers? And I enjoyed getting to listen to Pastor Josh Yates' sermon last week where he walked through the gifts, the different gifts that we have as the body of Christ and how we are called to use those gifts and serve together. And as we use our gifts and as we grow together and we serve and the church grows, I think it's only naturally that following that, we need to look at what loving each other looks like, right? Because the more involved we are, the more we use our gifts, the more pride might creep in. You know, we're going to have some issues, and Paul transitions here to what love looks like. Incredible thing is, in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul as well goes through the gifts of the Spirit. And then 1 Corinthians 13, if you've ever been to a wedding, right, you know the famous love chapter. So he does that in a couple different books where he takes us from the spiritual gifts, serving, getting involved to, okay, now we need to look at love and what love looks like between believers. Right, 1 Corinthians 13:1 tells us that we're just a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal without love. That's the last thing that I want to be, right? I think of that, when I hear that verse, I just think of annoying, right? Like a noisy gong, a clanging cymbal is just bothersome. We don't want to be that way with our gifts, with what we do. We want it all to be just clothed in love. So I want to read Romans 12, 9 through 10 together to start us off this morning. It says, let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection and outdo one another in showing honor. So here we see these two commands about what love is supposed to look like. Right, Paul here talking to the Roman church tells them that their love should be genuine. Some translations say without hypocrisy. I love that picture of love being honest, right? No hypocrisy, no fakeness behind it. And then at the beginning of verse 10 there, he commands us to love each other with brotherly affection. And this term here that he uses really points to devoted brotherly love. Right, I believe because of the word that he uses here that he's pointing towards a family, right? He's pointing towards the church family. Not saying that this can't be applied to, you know, those outside the church, but when we're talking about devoted brotherly love, we're looking at our brothers and sisters in Christ within the church, right? We're looking at each other here on a Sunday morning, gathering together, professing Christ as Lord and Savior, what that love looks like between all of us. This genuine, without hypocrisy, devoted, brotherly love, it's supposed to be more than just going through the motions. Right? As believers, we can get so trapped in this idea where the Bible gives us, you know, this, okay, do this, do that, do that. And it's like, yep, okay, I'm going to act like I love these people. right? I'm gonna do the things that the Bible says to love them, but there's no actual internal feeling of love for them. So this is calling us to something deeper than just these actions, but actually a feeling of love towards one another. I don't know about you, but the picture of brotherly love doesn't always inspire the greatest picture of love. I grew up with a brother a couple years younger than myself, and I knew all the right buttons to push with him. I was the talker, and I still am, right? And I could just say all the right things to get him riled up to where he would snap, and then I was the one running for my life. Even though he was younger, he'd start chasing me around and trying to get me, and somehow he would be the one that would get in trouble, you know? I don't know, I just, but this example, I think of my own kids, right? Any of you who have kids, especially younger kids, my 9-year-old girl, 7-year-old boy, they know how to fight. It's incredible. I'm like, guys, like, just take a deep breath. It's going to be okay. And they're always going at it. But there are those times when the house is quiet. Like, is everything okay up there? You know, you instantly think something is wrong when the house is quiet. And we'll creep around the corner, and they're all sitting there playing pretend together, playing Legos together, you know, even including Eden, the youngest one. And there's nothing better than that, right? Seeing them get along, seeing them love each other. And I think of how God must look at us, right? What joy it must bring him to see his children getting along. I think of him up in heaven peeking over, right? It's all quiet. Is everything all right down there? You know, oh, they're loving each other. This is incredible, right? Obviously, God knows, right? He doesn't have to peek over to see. But for the sake of the illustration, right? He gets to see us genuinely loving each other. What incredible worship that is to him. When as believers, we get along, when we play well together. The amazing thing about the family of God is that, you know, I can come here from another location. I know some of you, but many of you I don't know. But because we're a part of the family of God, I can genuinely say that I love each and every one of you. Being here, getting to see what the Lord is doing at another location is just an incredible thing. That as I serve and, you know, try to serve faithfully in Waterford on Sunday mornings, reaching people for the gospel, I can know that up here in Lake Orion, there's an incredible group of believers doing the same thing, right? Trying to reach this community for the gospel, trying to grow closer to the Lord. And for me personally, that just wells up this love inside of me. So I would challenge you, if you're struggling with this feeling of love, right? We don't always talk about feelings. A lot of times we kind of push back towards the facts. You know, it's more about what we know, but we want to feel this love for one another. I challenge you, spend time in prayer, specifically asking the Lord to well up this genuine brotherly affection in your heart for one another. Later on in the message, we're going to look at some practical ways of doing that, and letting that play out in our lives. But I would challenge you, that's something that we should earnestly desire, as the scripture challenges us here, to let our love be genuine, to love one another with brotherly affection. I think of Matthew 18. Matthew 18 is a famous passage of scripture that talks about dealing with conflict in the church. Or maybe you don't have that love for a fellow brother or sister in Christ here because there's an issue between you guys that you've been ignoring, that you've been trying to sweep under the rug, act like nothing is happening. I challenge you, maybe today's the day that you need to go to your brother, right? Confess maybe something that, you know, a way that you've wronged them, or in humility, come to them and explain maybe how they've hurt you in a situation in a way that you haven't been able to let it go, that you've been harboring that, so that we can have this genuine, brotherly, devoted brotherly affection for one another. Also in this verse, verse 9 says, "Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good." So what's the connection here to love? I would say we can't have this kind of love that the Bible is challenging us to have if our lives are infiltrated by evil, right? Hence the command to hate it and to hold fast to what is good. If in your day-to-day life you're just letting in all of these outside influences of evil, maybe it's what you're listening to, what you're watching, how you're speaking to each other, right? Just letting your heart fill up with this evil, you're not going to be able to have this love for one another that we are called to have. I think of Psalm 97:10 says, "O you who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the life of his saints. He delivers them from the hand of the wicked." So this loving God, and by extension, loving his people, demands this fierce rejection of evil, right? We protect ourselves from that, right? We want to make sure that we are filling ourselves up with, man, worship together, right? As we worship together this morning, how that fills us up with Christ, the reminder of his love, the reminder of what he has done for us, and allows us to love each other better. Also, this verse shows us that real love for one another calls out sin, right? Real love is willing to have the tough conversations with one another. Right, I'm not deputizing each of you to go everywhere and call out everyone's sin, right? That's not what we're saying. We're talking about when you have relationships with one another, when you see something in someone's life, we're willing to have those hard conversations, to call those things out in love, but understanding that that sin leads to destruction. I've seen people's lives just be burned down by the sin in their lives. And the saddest thing is nobody was willing to have that hard conversation, right? Real love is not ignoring it to preserve that relationship, right? Real love is sitting down with somebody, letting them know, hey, man, I've been praying for you. I'd love for us to sit down and just talk about a few things that I'm seeing. You know, this is dangerous the way that you're living. This is dangerous the way that you are ignoring God's word. And my hope is that we all have people in our lives that we allow to have that kind of love towards us, right? That we're humble enough to receive correction when it does come, because we know that it is for the honor and glory of the Lord. Proverbs 27, 5 through 6 says, "Better is the open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of the enemy." I just love that. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, right? When you really care for someone, when you really genuinely have this brotherly love for them, right? You know that those wounds are faithful. They are for a reason, right? They are to protect you. Showing love to them by being willing to call this evil, but also help them hold fast to what is good, encouraging them in the right direction, building them up when they are following after the Lord. I think of a picture of trying to hold on to something, right? And it's easier when we're all holding on to that together. So when one person starts to slip, starts to fall, we're able to grab them and pull them back to what is good. So naturally, we're thinking, right, some of this seems a little impossible. It's hard to love each other. I think of this reading through the scripture that, God, I can't do this, right? I cannot do this. And God goes, I know, you're right. You can't do it. You can't do it without your relationship with me. I was thinking back to a time my brother brother and my sister-in-law, his wife, are missionaries, and they were in the Middle East for a long time, and they got married out there. And we had the privilege, my mom and my dad and me, to go to the wedding. So we went, flew out there, attended their wedding. And on the way back, we had to fly through the London Heathrow Airport. And I don't know if any of you guys have ever been there. I would say avoid it. It was a nightmare. We landed, and it's one of those times where you land right as your next plane is boarding. So we're like looking at the clock, and we're like, we're not going to make it. You know, this is bad. And I remember as the oldest son, you know, with my parents, I'm like, guys, I got this. Like, I'm going to figure this out for us. And we're there right at the front of the plane as they open the door, and I just start running. And all of the different terminals are connected by these underground hallways. So, like, you're literally underneath the runways trying to get to these different terminals. And I start running, and it's this hallway, you know, from here to the back of the building, just straight. I'm like, okay, I got this. I can do this. And I'm running. I get to the end of that hallway, stop, turn and look. There's another hallway, the exact same length, all the way down. So I start running and running and running. As I'm running, one of those little golf carts, you know, pulls up. And I'm like, excuse me. Nope, just kept going. Blew right past me. You know, finally fix this. So finally, I make it to the terminal, and I'm able to stop them in time before they board the plane. And then here come my parents rolling up on one of those golf carts. So they stopped for them. They wouldn't stop for me, right? But this was what felt like an impossible situation, I could have used some help. I would have loved to hop in that golf cart and go, right? God is not telling us to love each other without him being willing to help us, right? I think he's willing to come alongside of us and pick us up and take us in the right direction, right? Paul knew this to be true as well, which is why here after verses 9 and 10, he transitions to our relationship with the Lord. I think that without our, you know, relationship with Christ, this relationship does not work. This relationship is going to crumble if you are not connected to Christ. So verses 11 and 12 in Romans here says, "Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer." So again, here, this incredible list of different ways that as believers, we are called to be living. I love this picture of a Christian that has zeal, that is fervent in spirit. It gives us this picture of a believer that's energetically living their life for Christ. Or they are fired up about what the Lord is doing. They're fired up about serving him, about loving one another. We're not spiritually sleepwalking here, right? The Christian life, they're not falling to this temptation to be spiritually stagnant. My daughter recently has started to sleepwalk, and it is a horrifying thing. I don't know if any of you have had a child or maybe personally have sleepwalked, right? But she randomly appears next to our bed, and she has no idea what is going on, you know, dragging a pillow. The other night, she was dragging a pillow and a blanket, and I think maybe she was going to try to get in bed with us. I'm like, we're trying to talk to her, and she just has no idea what is going on, right? But that's the thing, is we're not called to be spiritual sleepwalkers. We are called to be fervent and have zeal in our Christian life. This Greek word for fervent is zeo, which means to boil over or to be hot. So we're looking at this Christian and their life, that the spiritual life is just boiling over with excitement, right? They are so connected to the Lord that they are just boiling over. And from that boiling over comes what this verse is asking us to do, serving the Lord, rejoicing in the hope that we have in him, being constant in prayer. And from this relationship with God comes our ability to love each other in the way that Christ has called us to love. I think of the last part, be constant in prayer. Right? Come to God in prayer that he would be willing and able to help you live in this way that Romans 12 is calling us to live. We know that he is faithful, right? He hears our prayers. He's willing to come alongside of us. John 15, 4 through 5 says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in you, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." This reminder, this incredible reminder here to be connected, right? Be connected to Christ. Apart from him, we can't do anything that the scriptures call us to do. We try to do it on our own. We try to just, you know, muster up the strength. You know, today I'm going to be a patient person. Today I'm going to be a loving person, right? Today I'm going to be nicer and I can do it. And we're reminded every day that we can't do it without Christ. We have to be abiding in him, spending time with him, being here, gathering together as the church, worshiping together. All of these things, right, help us produce this fruit that scripture is calling us to. And we look to Christ. We look to his perfect example of his love for us, right? What greater love could there be than what Christ has done for us through sending his son? I think of John 15, 13. "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." As we're called to have this genuine, devoted, brotherly love for one another, we look to Christ, the example that he set for us by sacrificing himself on the cross, right? The way that he loved his disciples, the way that he prayed for his disciples. And through that example, we can be encouraged to live in this way towards one another. I love when scripture takes us kind of through the big thought first, right? This big thought of love, let love be genuine, right? Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, right? Have that devoted brotherly love for one another. And it gives us this big picture, and then it kind of zooms in for us and gives us some practical ways that this would look in our life. Personally, I need clear direction as a husband, right? I need clear direction from my wife. I'm like, give me step one, two, three, four, maybe step five as well. If your wife can't say amen to that, okay, I don't want to get you in trouble with your husband. But we need this clear direction. I remember we got this little play place a couple years ago for the kids, and it's like, always seems like a better idea than it actually is when you're looking at it on Amazon and you're like, yeah, we got this, let's order this thing, you know, and it shows up in 20 different boxes. And I'm looking at that picture on the front and I'm thinking, I can't do that, right? I see the big picture. I need some smaller directions. And luckily, after like 3 days of struggling, I finally got this thing put together. But that's what I need. I need those step-by-step practical directions. And I love that this scripture transitions into that in Romans 9 in verse 10. It says, we talked about loving one another with brotherly affection, but this next sentence, outdo one another in showing honor. So here's a way that we can love each other. We can show each other honor. We give honor to one another, not based on some achievement, right? Not based on personal attraction or like, man, you did a great job at this. We give honor to one another because, right, the fact that every Christian has Christ in his or her heart and is of the highest worth, right? As a Christian, you are a new creation. We look at each other and we see Christ in one another. We celebrate how one another is growing to be more like Christ. We celebrate how Christ is transforming them each and every day, and we give honor to that as we show love to them. And I would say that we have to know our people to do this, right? To see how someone is growing in the Lord, to see how the Lord is working in their hearts. We have to know each other. That's, again, like we talked about, being here. I was so blessed to be a part of just the prayer time in the lobby this morning as those who were here to serve spent time together praying. As you come early, you get to interact with one another. As you get involved in a growth community, you get to know each other's struggles, get to know how each person is growing. And in that, you can celebrate the work that the Lord is doing in their life. I would say just like Christ, right, we should care nothing for our own esteem and prestige, but live for the sake of others and their advancement, right? We can show love by humbling ourselves before others and encouraging them, showing them honor. It continues in verse 13, says, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. So this idea of caring for one another, right? Not just spiritually, but physically. When there are needs that pop up that we're willing to jump in and to care for one another. I think of a few years ago, my wife and I went through a really scary time in our life when she was pregnant with our third child. They found a mass on her ovary, and after some imaging and MRIs and all this stuff, they were pretty convinced that it was some form of cancer. But she was pregnant at the time. They really couldn't do anything with it. So long story short, after she gave birth a few months later, we were going into surgery to have this thing removed. And I'll never forget, one of our young adults at the time texted that night before the surgery and just said, hey, what do you guys need? Can I bring you dinner? And this young man who lived down in Waterford at the time, we're living up in Grand Blanc, you know, it's like a half an hour. The guy just worked, he's working a manual labor job, you know, worked all day, and took time to go pick us up some food, bring us barbecue, sit with us for a few minutes, and pray with us, and just meet a need in our life. And just praise the Lord. When the surgery happened, everything came out clear, and it was not cancer. And I really believe that the Lord worked a huge miracle in our life. That whole story, I could share that another time. But yes, amen. And we had just incredible people in our life during that time that were willing to step in and what do you need? How can we be praying? You know, can we pick the kids up for you guys? Can we bring you dinner? Can we bring you lunch? Can we drop off some cookies? And that way of just, you don't ever feel more loved than that, right? When someone's knocking on your door, dropping off a meal. Maybe you just had a baby and the meal train is bringing you what you need and you feel that love of Christ through the saints, right? Through our brothers and sisters in Christ. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. This one could be a whole sermon, right? With that encouragement of we can show love to one another by even when we're being cursed, even when somebody is putting us down, that we still bless them, that we still love them, that we still encourage them. Verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Again, are you willing to celebrate the successes of someone else? Right? A fellow brother and sister in Christ, we talked, Pastor Josh talked last week about serving, getting involved. You know, what if somebody gets that position that you wanted to serve in? Right? Is it instantly you're welling up with, you know, resentment, pride, anger, or do you celebrate them that the Lord is using them in that way? When somebody in the church gets that promotion or you know, a single person, they find their spouse or that raise comes or all these blessings that the Lord can bring to us, are you rejoicing with them? Right? Or do you find reasons to have that pride sneak in? Or do we weep with those who weep? The church just being that body of Christ, loving each other by, again, knowing what's happening in our lives so that when hard things happen, we're there to send that text, hey, I'm praying for you. We're there to after a gathering on Sunday, to huddle up and cry together and pray for one another. This is a way that we can show love, show this genuine brotherly affection for one another. Verse 16, live in harmony with one another. Again, we need to deal with issues before they grow bigger and bigger and cause division within the church. Right? As believers, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are called to live in harmony with one another, to believe the best in each other, to give grace and forgiveness to each other because of the grace and forgiveness that has been extended to us by Jesus Christ. We're so quick to hold on to these hurts, hold on to, you know, when we're offended, when Jesus has forgiven us of so much. Paul here in Romans 12, 17 through 18, he looks to the teachings of Jesus and says, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. So it's just that reminder to, man, don't repay evil with evil, right? The world says, and knock people, they knock you down, you get up, you knock them down, right? We need to be different than what the world says we should live. We live peaceably with all. We give honor to those who would do evil to us. All of these things, and it's just a, like I said, it's a quick list. Each one of these verses could be their whole sermon, but we get to see this example of the ways that we can show love to one another. Real Christian love is being willing to do these things, not just out of obligation, but out of that true feeling of love towards those around us. I heard a pastor say, the whole of the believer's conduct, in fact, should be bathed in love. If a Christian fails to love others, doubt is cast on his or her professed love for God. 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. Verse 20, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. The impact of all of this, church, is a church that is effective for the gospel. And we want to be a church that is seeing people come and come to know the Lord, that is reaching those around us. And if we can't even love each other, and how can we love the world? Right? We need to be together encouraging one another. We want to have a body of believers here that the world looks into and goes, man, something's different about them. Right? They're not bickering with each other like people act like churches do a lot, right? They're not talking bad about each other behind their backs. I think they actually genuinely love each other. And that is an attractive thing for church. People desire to have a community where they can be loved by one another, right? And obviously love, we talked about love, will hate evil. We don't hate the sinner, but we hate the sin. We will call people to give their life to the Lord, to grow in their walk with him. But John 13, 35 says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So we as a church can be this body that loves, that cares for one another, that points each other to Christ. I'd say too, if you don't know Christ, if none of this really makes a lot of sense to you, right? Jesus Christ came to this earth. He died on a cross for the forgiveness of your sins. We all have fallen short. We've all done things that don't meet God's standard of righteousness. But he died on the cross for you, rose again on the third day, ascended into heaven. By repenting of your sin, by putting your trust in him, you can know him. You can know this love from the Father that we are talking about so that we can show love to one another. I think that hopefully today, right, these scriptures encouraged us of what our walk should look like each and every day, that we would be challenged to love one another, to care better for one another, and just to continue to see the Lord work in this incredible body of believers. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for this opportunity to serve you, Lord, for this opportunity to worship you, for this opportunity to be reminded, Lord, of what genuine, devoted, brotherly love looks like in the body of Christ. Lord, I pray that this church would just be marked by loving each other well, Lord, and pointing each other towards you, Jesus. We just ask that if you're working in the hearts of those today who don't know you, that they would come and respond, Lord, that they would come and give their lives to you, that as we finish this last song of worship, Lord, that we would reflect together on your scripture, on your words, on what you taught us today, Lord, and that we would just be more like you in each and every moment. We love you. We ask all these things in your holy and precious name. Amen.